Psalms meant to be sung, but they are also meant to be read and preached from. And so if you would turn in your copies of God's Word to Psalm 95, we will be reading Psalm 95, verses 1 through 11. We won't be using this psalm as a text that we will be explaining all the different portions of it. It won't be an expositional sermon in that sense. But it will be we'll be using Psalm 95 as a guide to the singing of the psalms. And 95 is the psalm that we take up at this time. So let's give attention to God's word. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Let's briefly pray together as we take up this portion of God's word. Father in heaven, we do thank you that you have given us a psalm book, that you have given us inspired words of praise. And as we turn our attention to this particular psalm, may you use it to instruct us about your desires and intentions and designs for the singing of your praise through your word. Bless us to these ends in this time, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, there is a caricature about Reformed Christians or Reformed Christianity that we are unemotional stoics, and that we are socially backward, and that we hold to a faith that is almost entirely intellectual and non-experiential. Now, while those characters might be true in some regards, the solution to every one of those potential pitfalls of the Reformed faith is the singing of psalms. Now, as I say that, you might be thinking, Pastor, I believe you're confused. In fact, the psalms are what we feel most often we need to apologize for when people come and visit for the first time and they ask, now, why were you singing psalms and why without instruments? But no, the answer, the solution to all of these characters that I mention is by no means a need to apologize for psalm singing, but embracing psalm singing, because psalm singing is an expression of our emotions. It is an expression of our union together and our fellowship with one another. And it is an expression of our union with Christ. And so we will focus in our time tonight on that very issue. Sing the Psalms as an expression of your heart and of your fellowship and of your union with Christ. So first, express your heart through the singing of psalms. Notice in verses 1 and 2 of our psalm here, Psalm 95, that we are expressing our emotions. It says, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And so in the singing of psalms, all of the emotions of the hearts, our hearts are seen in the Psalter. Even here we see joyful exclamations, thankfulness and reverence, worshipful humility, and excited eagerness to come into God's presence. But then in the latter half of the psalm, we see that it takes a different, more serious, somber note. But even as we notice that, of course, the singing of praise is not meant to only be excited jubilation and positive emotions expressed to God. And yet, in modern evangelical circles, that's nearly the only emotion that singing congregations have the opportunity to express: excited, joyful jubilation. Along this line, the vice president of Westminster Theological Seminary, Carl Truman, church historian and theologian, wrote an excellent article. You can find it online if you're interested in it. It's by the title, "What Can Miserable Christians Sing?" The idea is that in modern American Christianity, there's really no other emotion that a Christian can express to God in the singing of praise besides glad exaltation. And so what do we sing when we're miserable? And his answer is the Psalms. Because, of course, the Psalms take up all the emotions: misery and grief, fear and doubt, struggles that we face, suffering and affliction that are before us. We can cry out with the Psalms to God, "Why? Why have you brought this into our life?" Or we can plead with God from the Psalms for deliverance from our torment. And we can also simply acknowledge our sin and our brokenness. So the Psalms are a full expression of all the range of human experience and human emotions. And so as we give our praise back to God in the very words that He has provided with us, we are expressing our hearts to Him. And oh yeah, don't forget to express joy as well. We certainly have to do that. And while we do that, none of our praise from the Psalms is a mindless praise, but is an intelligent, theological, biblical expression of all of our emotional experiences in life. And so, are you discouraged? Turn to the Psalms. Are you sorrowful and downcast? Sing the Psalms. Are you caught in a sin that you just feel like you can't break free from? Confess with the Psalms to your God. Are you overwhelmingly thankful? Express the full range of your heart with the Psalms to your God. So sing the Psalms as an expression of your heart. Secondly, express your fellowship with one another through the singing of Psalms. We see that in our passage here tonight as well. We see time and time again, we are singing to one another. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully. Let us come. Let us shout." And then in verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, the Lord our Maker, for He is our God." This is a corporate expression of fellowship. Now, in the dating situation or in the courtship situation, whatever you want to call it, there's a unique experience of fellowshipping with a potential future spouse. That one of the ways in our day and age that we assess whether or not someone will make a good husband or a good wife is by spending 2 hours sitting shoulder to shoulder with the person and watching a movie. I think this is kind of odd, because what are we assessing there in that time of fellowship? I think he'll make a good husband. He has a very good attention span. And so, as I say, that the fellowship that we experience in singing the Psalms is perhaps one of our highest expressions of fellowship, you might be thinking, well, that's kind of like sitting shoulder to shoulder watching a movie. What fellowship do we experience here? Maybe you'll look back at the clock and catch somebody's eye and they'll nod to you. Is that the fellowship that I'm speaking of? No. As we gather together for the singing of the Psalms, we are expressing our unity of faith as we confess that this truth in the Psalms is our truth. We corporately believe this, and we are encouraging one another by these truths. Have you ever noticed that there is a great amount of expression in the Psalms of singing to one another? That we're saying, brother and sister, believe this. Dear sister, hear this, be encouraged by this as we sing to one another. There is great fellowship in the singing of psalms. And not only do we sing to one another who are here living today in this place, but we are also singing the same content of the church throughout the ages. And we have fellowship with the church throughout every generation. There's something that is a blessing about reading old dead guys, that we can be encouraged by theologians of old or pastors of old and be mentored by them, so to speak. It's another thing altogether to sing the same songs as them, and in fact sing with them as they are offering praise even now before the throne of our Heavenly Father as they join with us in corporate praise. But you see, it's hard enough for one generation to the next to like the same songs. Have you ever noticed that parents, children, don't like certain songs because, I don't listen to that. My parents like that. It's hard enough for one generation to like the same songs as the next generation, and yet we are singing the same songs throughout all of the generations on the face of the earth, all the way back to the first time of expressing corporate praise as a people of God together. These are the words we are taking upon our lips, expressing our union with the church everywhere, throughout all time, throughout all cultures, throughout all epochs of God's people. And so, do you feel disconnected with the people of God? Do you feel alone or lonely? Come, sing the Psalms together. Or maybe if you don't have the opportunity to come sing the Psalms, sing the Psalms and remember that we unite with the people of God through all time in joining in fellowship with one another as you express the truth of God's word through the hymns and songs that He has given to His people for all generations until He returns again. But not only do we express our heart, and not only do we express our fellowship with one another, but we express our union with Christ in the singing of psalms. You see that we sing about our Lord. We see this in our psalm tonight, Psalm 95. Notice in verse 7, we sing about God. He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. An idea here, a reference to the fact that He is the good shepherd. We are singing about our Lord. But not only this, notice as that verse goes on, it says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, when do we hear Christ's voice? Today. Well, we could turn to Romans chapter 10 and say that we hear His voice in the preaching of the word. Or we could turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and say that we hear His voice in the reading of the word itself. Or we could turn to Colossians chapter 3 and see that we hear the very words of Christ in the singing of the psalms. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We hear His voice today as we sing the psalms. But not only this, we sing along with our Savior. Did you know that? We sing along with Christ. Not only because He is the Word of God Himself who authored the Psalter, authored all of the Psalms. Not only because He was a Jewish man who walked on the earth and sang the Psalms like all Jewish people did in those days and age. And not only these things, but because we clearly see from the New Testament that Jesus sang the very words that we do today. As it says in Matthew chapter 26, that after the Lord's Supper, they sung a hymn, speaking of Psalm 118, and they went out to the Mount of Olives. He is the singing Savior who sang all 150 psalms that we sing today, and we are singing along with him. Now, if this weren't enough, that we are singing about him, that we hear his voice in the singing of his word, and that he too sang the same words as us. But who are the Psalms about? See, there's a question of all up-and-coming pastors in our denomination that everyone is asked during the English Bible exam to name some Psalms about Christ. I found that to be an interesting question. I don't know all of them. One through 150. How do we answer that? Now, they're particularly thinking of the Messianic Psalms, but they're all about him. Every psalm speaks of Christ. And have you noticed that many of them are Christ speaking in the first person? And we are taking those words on our lips. Did you notice the change in Psalm 95 about halfway through, starting in verse 8? It says, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years, I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. When we take the Psalms on our lips, we are taking the very words that Christ himself spoke, his very experiences upon our lips, and using those words as our words. We are expressing our faith in the first person of Christ himself. If that doesn't express our unity with Christ, I don't know what does. For how else can we better express our feelings of alienation from God because of our sin than when we sing, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or how, when we have felt betrayed by a close friend, if you've ever experienced that, can we better do so than by identifying with the betrayal of Christ and singing his words, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted has lifted up his heel against me? Or how can we better rejoice in the glory and blessing that Christ has won for us than when we take his words upon our lips and singing, in your presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore, as we sing about his resurrected victory at the right hand of the Father? As we sing the Psalms, men and women, we are expressing our hearts and our union together, but in unity with Christ himself, taking his words upon our lips. And they're our words. They're true of us. But they're also his words, and they're true of him. Because by faith, everything that is true of Christ has been made true for us. And so sing the Psalms in union with Christ. Occasionally, you may read an earthly author where their words resonate with you and it expresses exactly how you feel. Or you may listen to a song on the radio, and just at that moment when it hits you, it really captures where you are right then and right there, and you can identify with it. And there are certainly some exceptional Christian songs and hymns that quite beautifully and accurately express our faith. But there is something altogether different when we are speaking of the one true and living God who sees every emotion of our heart and lays bare our minds and our thoughts before him. And it is him who has written the very psalm book of praise, giving us the songs that we are to sing in expression back to him, offering our praise before him. That is a unique and special experience. And as we do so, we are expressing our very hearts, and we are expressing our very fellowship together. And we are expressing our very union with Christ himself. So do just that, men and women. Sing the Psalms as an expression of your heart and of your fellowship and of your union with Christ. But sing the Psalms. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, that not only do we hear it read, but that we can sing it. And Lord, thank you for being that infinite God who knows the full depth and breadth of our human experience and has given us a book of praise whereby we can offer it back to you in an appropriate and godly way. That, Lord, you even counsel us as we express our emotions and you bring us to the place where we need to be as we think of these things, as we offer them up to you. So, Lord, use the Psalms even this night as we express them back to you as an expression of our love and commitment to you, our praise and adoration of you, as our love and fellowship with one another, and most importantly, of our love and union with Jesus Christ himself, our singing Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.